Well, good morning again, brethren. It's all great to see you here on the last day of Unleavened Bread. Some of you were at the feast in Aransas Park last year, and you may remember some of the offertory message I will give today. There it goes. But as God has shown us through His Word, repetition is most beneficial. And since we are just getting into the holy day season for 2026, and we give offerings on these holy days, I would like us to think about a deeper meaning of the offerings we bring to God throughout His holy days. In the days of ancient Israel, these people understood these days of offering from the agricultural perspective. These festivals highlighted the culmination of their labors as farmers and herdsmen, and the importance of bringing offerings to God. These offerings symbolized honoring Him with the fruits of one's work. Today, our offerings are monetary rather than agricultural products, as during the times of ancient Israel. And because of what God is doing with us today, that He was not doing with ancient Israel, our offerings do take on a greater significance. In Exodus 23:15, we see the command not to appear before God empty. And again, in Deuteronomy 16:16, and we will go to these scriptures, we see where God commands His people to present offerings and not appear before Him empty-handed, emphasizing giving according to God's blessings. So let's quickly read these two accounts in Exodus and Deuteronomy. So if you would, please, let's turn to Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. That's Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. And here God directs the nation of Israel and modern-day Israel, who we are, three times you shall keep a feast to me in your year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. And as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. So God repeats things, as I mentioned earlier, and he says almost the same thing word for word in Deuteronomy 16:16. So while I take a sip here, please turn to Deuteronomy 16:16. Oh, water is so refreshing. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. As said earlier, God highlights these holy days as culminations of the agricultural and farming labor of His people in the fields He had provided for them. God intended these festivals to be occasions when His people would reflect on their blessings of their fields, their trees, and their vines, and then honor Him with a portion of what they brought in. I would like us to notice the Hebrew word for empty in Exodus and Deuteronomy and its meaning and the metaphorical meaning of empty. Not to appear Him before Him empty in God's word is the Hebrew word rakam, meaning ineffectual, vain, void, and futile. Interestingly, the Hebrew term translated as empty or void often indicates that offerings or actions without spiritual fruit are considered empty before God. We can see the point God is making more clearly by how this Hebrew word, rakam, is used in other scriptures. So if you would please, let's look at Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. Of course, Isaiah 55 is very well known to us, or Isaiah 50 in general. A lot of millennial scriptures in there. But now we're talking about a principle, no matter what period of time. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and it make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. There's the word rocking, and remember that means empty, brethren. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Thinking on this, brethren, if we are utilizing God's words in our lives, it will be a productive force. These scriptures in Isaiah 55 explain that God's word does not return void, but accomplishes his purpose, his will. Just as we see the examples of how the natural process of rain produces a harvest, God's Holy Spirit, symbolized by water, also produces a harvest of spiritual growth and prosperity. Notice some additional similarities between the natural processes that God describes in Isaiah 55 and the themes of the harvest festivals. God uses the agricultural imagery to teach us about the unseen spiritual reality. Verse 11 says that God's word will not return to him void. When God sends forth his word, it often triggers a process rather than things happening immediately. And God often works through processes that may involve many factors and perhaps significant time. We can see the example of a space of time between the rain falling and somebody eating bread at the end of the harvest. Question: is this not the same thing when we were called by God? We did not immediately start producing good spiritual fruit, but as we continue to have our minds, the spiritual fields, watered by God's word, the fruit starts to be produced. Emphasizing verse 11 in Isaiah 55, he also says that God's word will prosper the sower. And this should cause us to want to latch onto God's powerful words for those things to happen for us. God's words are spirit. And he says that if we apply them, they will cause things to increase and prosper in our lives, both physically and, more important to him, spiritually. When we refer to Deuteronomy 16:16, again, we see that God's people should not appear before him without something of physical value to present to him. Our offerings should cost us something. But brethren, the spiritual application of our offerings to God is much more important. And when we broadly consider Deuteronomy 16:16, the verse indicates that we should not appear before God in vain or with futility. In other words, we can draw from this that as we have been given his Holy Spirit over the years, We should not appear before the Lord without having produced spiritual fruit within us, presented as an offering to God. Brethren, God's blessings are far more than physical, and I know we all know this, but sometimes it seems so easy for us to just focus in on the physical offerings itself. Now, a monetary offering that we prepare for is simply one application of Deuteronomy 16:16. God is more interested in the weightier matters that will reside within us for all eternity. His desire is for us to come before him with the spiritual fruit that has been cultivated from our labor with his word that we put into practice. God can send forth his word, but if we are not laboring in the fields of our lives by seeking him, cooperating and using his words in our daily lives, we won't harness that prospering effect, again, as stated in Isaiah 55, verse 11. Nothing of spiritual benefit or offering that he wants in us will be produced if we do not harness this effort. As a result, we stand before him empty. Brethren, spiritual cultivation is required. In the New Testament, Hebrews 6 warns that without cultivation, or we could say without active cooperation with God's word, spiritual growth is choked by thorns, representing worldly cares that hinder or prevent our spiritual growth. Let's turn to Hebrews 6, if you would. Hebrews 6, and I'm going to start with verses 7 through 8. And these verses metaphorically repeat God's cultivation and production expectations. Verse 7, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those from whom it is farmed, receives the blessings of God. But for us, brethren, here in verse 8, it is a terrifying thought if we don't produce after being called. And God is very serious about this. So let me read that in verse 8. But land, metaphorically us, that produces thorns and thistles is worthless. It's worthless to God and is in danger of being cursed. And what happens in the end? It will be burned. Now, this isn't, fire and brimstone sermon, but it's also one where God wants and expects us to produce. And if we don't, well, read it to yourself. Verse 8 shows that there must be cultivation. Cultivation means labor to create the right environment for the right spiritual gifts to be produced. If the soil, which is what we have dominion over, is neglected, then thorns will start to take over. That's just a fact of life. And hopefully none of us do that. I don't think any of us do. But these thorns are the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things that choke out the word of God. Now, I like having enough food to eat and nice clothes and things like that. But if I focus my mind totally on those types of things, getting ahead and all that type of stuff, which is the way of the world, it's going to choke out the word of God. Hey, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. See, in reality, thorns can be anything that hinders our spiritual growth. This is where we must examine the fields of our lives, not just for one season of the year, but day by day. So, brethren, as we make our physical monetary offerings today and all throughout the holy days, let's not think only about what God has physically given us, but most importantly, what he has spiritually provided for us as lights on a hill. Let's think about how we have labored with God's words to cultivate a spiritual crop. A spiritual crop that we are right now bringing with us before God as an offering to be used in His service, so His will is done for each and every one of us in our individual lives. This is a harvest that can't be contained in an offering basket or an offering envelope or digital transaction, because the harvest from our fields, the lives God gives us, is spiritual. And let us never forget, what God desires most are spiritual offerings cultivated through labor with His word. Let that always be our offering to Him, and never appear empty before our Creator.